You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, a weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. Today we are talking about presenting like a professional. 14 presentation tips that will help you to become a better presenter. Presentation is one of these topics which is really important, and you can never stop learning and becoming a better presenter over time. There's even people like Steve Jobs who continued and continued to learn and improve their presentation skills so that they can deliver really world-class presentations. Or think about all the great TED Talks that you may have seen. These people have practiced. And there's a couple of really, really nice tips that we will dive into today. So stay tuned for this. If you love this content, then maybe you also love the content that I'm sharing on LinkedIn. So follow me there and join the Effective Statistician LinkedIn group. I'm producing this podcast in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the video-on-demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. Visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician. This time it's again Benjamin and myself. Hi Benjamin, how are you doing?
Hi Alexander. Well, very well. It's morning, so quite unusual still, it feels, but
Good. After so many episodes that we recorded in the evening, now it's a morning, morning thing that is, but it's quite nice. It's a different feeling, a little bit more energy in the mornings than in the evening. In the evening it was more relaxed. So today we are talking about presentations. I think that's a really, really important thing, and all of us need to present more or less often. And I think the more you progress in your career, the more often you're presenting. So I think it's a really, really important thing. If you think about your last presentation, what was that?
To be honest, I haven't done like a big presentation for quite a while. So it's more the online presentation that I've presented quite a bit. So where you needed to prepare for a little topic, but not as a single and standalone presentation. So to be honest, for me today it's quite interesting to see, because I've experienced you probably more often as a speaker than myself. But for me it's more the point of when I go into a presentation. It's more that I'm quite, criticizing people mm-hmm. easily in terms of, what went wrong in many ways. So it's more that the point of, watching them or listening to a presentation where I think, boring, get started, what's your point, and so on. So that's quite an interesting topic. But for me, actually, I just remember one long presentation where I joined an investigator meeting years ago in Barcelona, I think it was. And, you came up and stood up there and was suddenly you just experienced the microphone and, the different sound, and you listen to yourself over the microphone or over the speakers. And it was quite weird. So after all, I didn't really concentrate on anything that I kind of planned to do for this presentation. So at the end was my one big well, my first very big experience of having a speech, and that didn't go wrong. It didn't go well. I mean, it was quite embarrassing after all. Yeah.
I think presentations is really a skill you need to learn, and I think you can learn it a couple of different ways. Actually, like you said, watching others and seeing what they do and what kind of effect it has, whether it's a positive or negative, and reflecting on that is a really good thing. The other is, of course, reading about books and listening to this podcast and you know, these type of learning experience. But I think the most important learning experience is really doing it and practicing it. So that's how I learned a lot about it. But of course, you need to have some background knowledge in terms of what you need to look for and what are kind of the things that you can have an eye on. Where are the different things you can improve? And so today we want to talk a little bit about these things that can help you stand out from the crowd, because I think there are far more bad presenters than good presenters.
Yes, unfortunately. that's true. I think, you know, there are just talents, the people that naturally like presenters, and they just, you know, when they were born, they basically started to present themselves, and that's something different. But, you know, usually that's not the case. So that's why what we want to try today is to give you guidance of, you know, some thoughts that you should do before starting your presentation. So kind of how to prepare and what to consider. And then, you know, as you said, you know, it's just all about practicing.
Yeah. It's really about practicing. That is really important. Okay. So we have 14 presentation tips, some short, some long, that we want to go through today. And the first tip, and that's really, really important one, is, like for every communication, be clear on what you want to achieve. Be clear on your goals is really important.
Yeah, not only for yourself. I mean, the whole presentation should be clear, you know, on what you would like to achieve. But it's also, you have to make sure that the audience is getting the goal, so they understand what you're aiming at. So if you then suddenly have a, you know, surprisingly turnaround at the end of the story, then everyone is just lost. So really, you need to be clear. There need to be a line, something that you would like to achieve at the end of the with the whole presentation.
Yeah, especially if you, for example, present to more senior management, it really helps to start and saying, okay, this presentation is here to make sure that we get to this decision, or this presentation is to update you about the recent findings from that study, or this presentation is to give you three alternatives to go with the study design and what our recommendation is, and get approval for that. So to be really clear about kind of what you want to achieve. And if you present, for example, in a at a conference, what do you want to have as a key takeaway for the audience? If you can nail that down into maybe just 3 points, that would be really great. That helps a lot.
Yeah, that's true. And also, it's not necessarily, I mean, sometimes you're able to put this in the title, kind of the topic. So, you know, the three options we have or whatsoever. So it's kind of but not necessarily the title is the key thing to, you know, you have to also name it. I think that's important as well, to just, you know, take the audience with you with a very, you know, with the first sentence saying, so what you would like to achieve. Not only, don't lean on the title only.
Yeah, completely agree. Okay, the second tip is to have a strong start. So at the beginning of your presentation, you give the first impression to the audience. And the first impression, like the proverb says, is really, really important.
Yeah, it is. And it's not the introduction about yourself.
Nope.
Just like, don't start with, I'm 16 years in the industry and I've done this and this and this. I'm a great guy. Listen to me. Nobody will listen to that.
Yeah.
So that's a boring start. So make it different. I mean, you have to introduce yourself at some point, but it's not the way to start with. Really start with something, you really take the people with you, like with a story, with something, with an experience, with anything exciting that is short, but it should, really draw the attention of the audience to you, towards you. And once you have the attention, it's just, you just have to keep it. That's the only thing you need to do, the whole presentation.
Yeah. Don't start with, thank you for inviting me. I'm here to speak about. No, start with something that excites the audience. Yeah, start with telling a story about kind of the topics that you want to speak about, and that provides a frame that interests the audience. In a more technical presentation, like results about a study, you can even start with a conclusion. Yeah, so you can say, the recent phase 3 study had these 3 key findings. Finding 1, finding 2, finding 3. Yeah. And that way you directly have the audience and directly capture the audience. And if you want to introduce yourself, you can do that thereafter. Yeah. Then you have a much stronger start into the presentation. The other thing is not just with your words, but with your whole body, how you enter the audience, enter the stage. That is, I think, is also really important. Mm-hmm. And the stage can be, standing up in a room, or it can be a real stage in a big conference setting, something like that.
Yeah, it could also be like a WebEx, like video conference. So even there, it's very important how to present yourself. So if you just lean back, you're holding your hands behind your head, they will, who's that? Is he really talking or so on? If you like sit upright and really do, look into the camera, don't look at the screen, look at the camera, really focus on the, look into, on the audience, so that they give them the feeling that you look out for them. So that's a different appearance. So that is something you really need to think of before you start your presentation.
Yeah. Your presentation starts basically as soon as the audience can see you. I remember once I had a training for these GBA rehearsals, for the GBA hearings in Berlin, where you, as a sponsor, present about compounds that you want to bring on the market. And there you have, it's a big pricing, reimbursement, and access kind of meeting. As a group, you're presenting there, or you're interrogated there, so to say, and you enter this room while the committee is already sitting there. And when we had the rehearsal, one of the things that we were trained on is how to enter the room as a group. so that you already, come across as a team being confident, and you display this confidence directly from the start, so that you're not fiddling around with your stuff, not looking nervous, not looking distracted, but you directly get into the room, you own the room, you're seen as a team, and you're seen confident, and you have a strong start. So it's the same with the presentation. So if you enter on the stage, that is already the start of your presentation. So do it confidently. Get up on stage, have everything ready, and then start.
No, that's absolutely true. I think this is, also, we are kind of visualizing now really big events where you have big presentations. But actually, it's the same if you have a little, team meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the team. It's depending on your role. So if you listen to what somebody else is saying, it's not a big... But if you're the presenter for a team meeting, if you are the team leader, for example, then... you know, as soon as you're there, that's just how people receive you, how people see you. So it, yeah, it's not about, you know, once you open your mouth and start talking, it's about, you know, the whole setting, in a small setting, in a big setting. So it's just remember that.
Yeah, so one other thing you can have, for example, look is, if you look into these product presentations by Steve Jobs, yeah, that's actually a really good presenter, an awesome, outstanding presenter. And he trained and exercised all these presentations very, very detailed. He had a look into all these different things. And if you see how he enters the stage, how he behaves, what he does, before he even starts speaking, it creates this atmosphere, now something special will going to happen. And the audience knows that. So have a think about that. Okay, let's go to the third tip. And this is speaking to ethos, pathos, and logos. And I'll quickly explain a little bit what I mean by that. We often, as statisticians, just focus on the logical part, on the logos, just the information, the facts, and things like that. But there's other things that you can speak to. There's the much more the emotional part. What's in it for the audience? What do they gain from that? If you speak, let's say, at a technical conference, speak to that the audience can shine with being really innovative if they do these kind of things, that they can help their study teams to better understand data. So speak to these kind of things. Or the pathos and ethos is also about how you carry through. So what is kind of your character in here? What is your identity here? And let that shine through. So why should people trust you? And display that also while you're presenting. Don't just focus on facts, 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 logic, 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 but focus also on the emotional part.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point, because as you said, the statisticians tend to be mathematicians by heart and kind of just focus on the facts, which is good. I mean, that's one of the key points why people trust us, because we do focus on data, on facts, on things. But for gaining trust to the audience, and the audience is not necessarily statisticians, be more human, less statistician sometimes.
If you want to move your audience from A to B, there's more than just facts that move them from A to B. There's also all the emotional part that moves over. And if you want to learn more about that, some time ago we had a webinar on exactly that topic. If you go to the Effective Statistician homepage, you can find the replay of this webinar there. So that's just as a side note.
All right. The next one is to establish a powerful position.
Yeah.
I mean, we mentioned that already a little bit with all the prerequisites that you need. But the point really is to make the audience understood that not only that you understand what you're talking about, but that you have like a standing within the information that you're presenting. So really putting yourself into a position where everyone trusts you with what you're saying. So really having a very powerful and strong position for yourself as a presenter.
There's both that you're confident that you know what you're presenting about. And the other thing is in terms of your body, how you stand up. So you know that you're not hiding behind something, or that you're leaning against a wall or something like that, but that you're standing firmly on both feet, and you can even have the feet a little bit wider than kind of your shoulders, so that you're not standing there like 5-year-old kid with legs closed, and it's kind of like your first day in school, but you're standing confidently there and have your arms in front of you so that you can use them for gestures. That is really important.
Yeah. Also, maybe just have a little, I wouldn't say walk, but, you know, you can also move if the microphone is not, you know, if it's possible at least, so that you just, be yourself a little bit. Don't put yourself into a very stressful and tight situation on the stage.
Yeah, actually, that is a really good point. So if you have more space on the stage, own it. Yeah. Don't run around all the time.
No.
What I've seen good presenters do is they move up to a point, then they stand there, and then they make their point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Each position on the stage where they stop and speak, that's where they're making a new point. So they're giving their presentation a kind of a visual cue with that. Whenever they stand still, they make a conclusion or they make a final statement. Yeah, and then they tell another story, go to another point, and then there's the next conclusion.
Well, that sounds like an advanced course of present. But yeah, I mean, it's true. But just, yeah, as you said, own the space. So that's a good...
The tip number 5 is make eye contact, which is, of course, a little bit more difficult in a virtual setting. Yeah, but if more people have their camera on, then that's possible. In a room, in a conference setting, really look different people into the eyes. Yeah, and you can pick one person, pick the next person, pick yet another person, and with that you can kind of scan through the whole room and focus on different people. That way, everybody in the room will have the feeling that you talk to them personally.
Yeah, and I mentioned this already with your virtual setting. You know, I don't know if you came into the experience where you see people and you don't really know, do they look into the camera? Do they look somewhere else? So in the, the camera is usually not at the screen. And if you focus on the screen, what you're saying, then you don't look into the camera. And that is kind of confusing to people. At least to me, I don't know if I just always think. So when I'm speaking, I try to look into the camera while I'm speaking. So that really gives them the feeling that you're looking at the audience. And I mean, it does mean that you should know what you. I mean, you don't have to read it. So what you're speaking. So maybe you have to know it by heart. But otherwise, that is kind of my virtual suggestion for making eye contact. Is really just make use of the camera, not focus on the screen.
Yeah, I recently heard a tip that put behind the camera a picture of someone you like, and then you can look into the picture all the time, which helps you actually with tip number 6, and that is to keep smiling.
Yeah, you have to be friendly. I mean, that is how people receive you. So if you perceive you, I mean, if you have a grumpy face and, you know, you don't look, you know, and whatever your message is, they won't listen because it's not attracting them. So smile. Yeah. Hey, you have a good message. I mean, may not be good, but at least it's positive attitude if you present it with a smile.
And if you just listened to Benjamin, he was smiling a couple of times while he was speaking. And you can even wire the podcast, so just the audio, you get a different tone in the voice when you're smiling. So even if people can't see you, still smile.
Yeah.
It helps. It's really, really interesting how the smile even alters your voice. So keep smiling. Okay, next one is especially also for virtual settings. So when you're presenting from your desk, so to say, tip number 7 is never lean back when you're sitting, because that way you will get really, really kind of relaxed, slow, monotonic, boring kind of presentation style that people will make wanna fall asleep. And I've been in these presentations where, you know, the presenter is just kind of talking for 45 minutes. it's impossible to concentrate on that. Yeah. And it's just because of this body position that is so kind of laid back and relaxed.
Yeah, it's also, but it's not only for it. I mean, it's very true, because I think what we underestimate is what you just mentioned, with how the voice and how the words and the tone comes across when you, depending on your body language, which you can't see in a virtual session without camera. Mm-hmm. But also, nevertheless, it's also important, for example, if you are in a room. And if everyone is, you know, if nobody is standing up and, you know, it's kind of an open discussion or something, then you don't have to stand up. But if this is really a presentation, even though they don't expect you to stand up, but before you're sitting and kind of relax in your chair, stand up. Just a little. I mean, otherwise you can't move. You can't that easily make eye contact if you just have to bend over the table in order to you know, see your neighbor chairs and look into their eyes. So that's why I stand up, take this space, and just move. But don't fall into your chair back leaning. Try to attract the audience. It's not going to work.
Yeah. So, for example, I'm now changed my setting at home for so that I can stand up while doing presentations, or for example, while recording this podcast, I'm actually standing up now, which I hope makes a little bit of a difference. Okay, let's go to tip number 8.
Dress appropriately. Well, again,
yes.
Not necessarily for video sessions, but for sessions without video, virtual. But as soon as there's a camera on, don't come in your pajama.
Yeah, but also kind of on stage. Yeah, so don't wear something that distracts the audience. Yeah, if you have there something that is too colorful, too kind of blinking and kind of screaming colors or things like that, that usually kind of just distracts the audience. Yep. And it distracts the audience from what you want to convey. So then more think about your Mickey Mouse tie than what you're actually talking about. Really kind of think about what is a good presentation kind of background. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, very often people that are really good presenters, they have more kind of a uniform color or something like this. They have suits that is, you know, not well fitting, but not exciting. Yeah. And that way you can really concentrate on what their message is and you're not distracted by what they wear.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not about saying, well, you have to wear a tie or not a tie. So it's really about, first of all, you have to feel comfortable with it.
Yeah,
that's very important. So if you feel yourself overdressed, that already puts you into an awkward situation, which you should avoid. Otherwise, it's difficult to concentrate on the other points. But for the audience, it doesn't matter if you're wearing like a suit or a tie and you're, you know, very highly dressed, let's say, or if you're just business casual. It needs to fit into the whole setting. That's important. But yeah. Otherwise, it's just as you just said, it needs to be something that is not distracting. So no Mickey Mouse tie, no sandals. So things that people just, you know, look at and say that they will remember the Mickey Mouse tie. They won't remember what you just talked.
Yeah. And you want to have people talk after the presentation about your content, not yeah. your outfit.
Did you listen to that guy? You're the one with the Mickey Mouse tie? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's quite important, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the next tip is again really for the virtual setting, and that is the position of your camera. Now in this lockdown, you kind of see all kind of different camera positions, and there's so many kind of bad things that you see. Yes, there's a couple of things. The first is position it in such a way that the lighting is good. Yes, so the light shouldn't come completely from your background, so that your face is completely dark and you have this bright window in the back, then people can't see you. Yeah, it's basically you're just in the shadow. The other thing is you sit so much in the light that, you know, your face just kind of is completely white. have seen that as well. Just check how your face appears in the light. At my home office setup, I have the light from the right side very often when I'm working, and I bought a specific light that shines also onto my face from the left side. And that's a light that has also where you can alter the warmth of the light, so to say, so that it, you know, doesn't come across as cold. And also it's such a thing that it's not disturbing you. Shines into your face, but it's not disturbing. And that helps you to come across really professional.
Yeah. And also that's one aspect is the light. That's quite important. But you can easily just play around a little bit and see what's working best. I mean, you don't have to put on like professional light constructs in your room. It's just more about, you know, whether you maybe need to close the window shades a little bit or turn on the normal lights, depending on, you know, if it's sunny or not sunny outside. So that is something that you can test 5 minutes before when you just, start your video and you look at the picture. But I think the other point is also like where the position of the camera is in terms of the you know, if high or low, because there might be quite disadvantages to, you know, really have the camera above you and looking down on you. So, you know, looking where you just see basically your top of the head, the nose, and then maybe the breast. I mean, seriously, that's something that is distracting people. And on the other hand, if it's too low, it's really just going, you know, seeing your chin and your chubby chin and the nose and, you know, looking into the nose and stuff like this. So it's sometimes very weird. I mean, you've seen so many conferences, video conferences, and it's really, you could write a book about how people behave when they feel unattended and just laying down, you know, on the in the chair and having the camera just shining into their nose. So that's something.
Yeah, and just kind of have your complete face on the screen. So I don't know how often I've been in virtual settings where I just see the upper part or the lower part of the face. Where I don't know. Just pay attention, to how your camera setting is. And it's really easy. If you have just a laptop, and you use a laptop, then put some books under it so that it's a little bit elevated, and therefore the camera is on the same height as your eyes. Yeah. That way you have a good kind of position of your camera. And just check that. And look how you come across, because you can be the best presenter if people can't see you appropriately, can't read your face, and you're communicating so much with your face. It's really, really distracting.
Yeah, it is distracting. That's the point. As soon as there's something that is distracting, people won't listen to what you're saying. You know, if they just see your mouth close, you know, open up, and your eyes are not on the picture, they will just count your teeth rather than listen to what you say.
Okay, let's go to tip number 10. Use pauses intentionally. There is very often our urge that we need to continue to speak and speak and speak and speak and speak. And then people get completely exhausted. They don't have enough air anymore to really speak. So make a point after each sentence.
Yeah.
And that way your voice goes down and you can breathe. And that helps you to have the air to go through the complete presentation, and you're not talking, and then you don't have any air anymore to speak. Mm. Yeah. So that is really important. But also, if you have a final statement, if you make a specific point, make a pause after that. That way people will more likely remembers this exact point.
And you give them the chance to follow you, because I mean, even, you know, you prepared the slides, you prepared the presentation, but the people are just, they need to understand it while you're talking. So that's why give them the chance to, you know, let their brain work in this little pause. Just, you know, don't make it extremely long or something. Like, it just pause for you to breathe, for everyone to catch a, you know, like a brain breath, to really get to the point what you, that you just made, and then continue. It's just important. It's just natural, actually. I mean, there are people continuing to talk, but no.
And actually, for you as a presenter, the pause may appear to be really long, but for the audience, it isn't. Yeah, so there's our wrong perception as a presenter that we kind of need to talk all the time. Okay, let's go to tip number 11, and that is the variation of your voice. You can play with your voice.
Be louder, not that loud, quicker, get to the point, pause, soft. So it's just, you know, whatever you would like to say, not only your body should present it, also your voice should present it. And that is quite important. It makes it also more interesting for the audience to follow you, because if you just have a very monotone voice without any movements and just the same speed and everything, it's everything, you know, they just fall asleep. So that's what you can do in the evening to get your kid to bed, but not for the audience.
Exactly. So you can pitch your voice to do something with it. You can speak a little bit more from your body. So there's these different techniques that you can use. And with that, you can emphasize certain points. You can make a story more compelling. You can bring tension into your presentation. And that helps to keep entertaining with your presentation. And it's, that's actually one of the key things, is always entertain while you're presenting. So maybe as a side note, if you're good with jokes, then that's always a little bit of humor is good.
But be careful, because if you're not good with jokes, this is really...
You need to be good at it. Okay, next point. And that is especially important for bigger stages. Tip number 12 is use wide gestures to increase your word choices. It's really interesting, but there's research that if you open your arms more widely, if you kind of make wide gestures, that helps you to have a bigger vocabulary. I don't know why. Yeah, I'm not a neuroscientist, but there's obviously some research regarding that. So use wide gestures to make a point. And on stage, of course, that helps you to own the stage. If you're presenting from home, that helps you with your vocabulary.
Yeah, don't worry about the wide gestures. Really, I mean, if you're sitting next to each other and just, you know, slap his face by accident, that's not fine. But on a stage, I mean, even if you feel like you're spreading your arms to the extreme, it doesn't look like it. It's, you know, you're on a stage. There's so much, plenty of space. So if you open your arms or not, I mean, if you just open it a little bit apart from your body, then nobody will even realize that you open your arms. So use it. Wide gestures, really put it out. And this is now about wide gestures, but what about small ones? Even small ones are very important for every setting, basically. Also, if you're even not on a screen. So if it's just by voice, so if you just listen to you in a virtual setting, then, you know, if you use your hands, if you work with your hands, if you just, you know, have something to say and you move your arm with it, that supports your voice, that supports the words that you're saying and the way it's coming across. So let your body tell the audience what you're saying. So don't compress it. Don't sit there standing still you know, don't move. It's just really... use your body to promote your words, and that will not only help you, it's just more natural anyway. So if you're with your friends and you tell them something, you don't stand still, so you have your arms moving, you know, everything is moving, and do the same. It just gives it a natural touch, and it supports the words and the sound of the words coming across to the audience.
Yeah, of course, that goes back to some things that we talked about earlier, is that you need to have a good position on stage to do that. Yeah, if you have your hands tightly bent around your back, yeah, or if you kind of hold tightly to a desk or anything else or a microphone, well, you can't use that gesture. It's much better if you can stand freely on stage and talk to your slides. And that's actually point number 13. Use visuals effectively. And here we are talking mostly about slides. I think one of the key problems that many presentations have, people start with the slides instead of starting with what they actually want to convey, what is the story that they want to tell. And then they speak to the slides and they kind of support the slide as a presenter. But it should be the other way around. The slides should support you as a presenter. The focus should be on you, not on the screen. So there is so many bad slides. There's, I think, I don't know. My perception is 95% of the slides are really crap, and there's only 5% of slides that are really good. I don't know, but just most of the books about slides, yeah, just use some of these, yeah, like Nancy Duarte's Slideology or some kind of book about slide. Have just one look into it. Implement what you see there. And push back on these really, really convoluted, wordy, distracting slides that people basically need to read like a document. These are presentation slides. This is not a report or a paper or an abstract or whatsoever. So presentation slides should follow a couple of key things that make them really simple. The first is, have only very, very few words on them. To be honest, most of the slides that I usually present very often may just have one or two words on it.
Don't make, you know, and then read the sentence.
Only one exception is a quote. Yeah, so that's maybe, yeah, or maybe you have a definition or something like this. But otherwise, don't put complete sentences on it, and especially not many of them in block size. Yeah, that
is. Yeah. But I think it's. I mean, this is the about doing presentation or preparing slides. That's probably, you know, can be a full new episode, podcast episode. But it's not really. Podcast, I mean, just yes. I think the key point is really they support you. So you're not supporting the slides; they support you. So, you know, give pictures, overviews, things that are easily to access from you know, looking at it, you know, at one glance with the from the audience. So it's really, as I said, few words, not much, lot to say. Don't quote. Well, if you use quotes, use them. But I mean, don't read the sentences or whatever is on the slide, and look at the slides all the time, and just give them, you know, pictures, figures, no tables.
Yeah. There's too often you see tables and then there's three columns on it and 20 rows. And in each row, there's an N and a percentage. And who on earth in a 1 minute where the presentation, the slide is on the screen, can understand such a table? It's, you know, that's just the wrong way to communicate the numbers. Yeah,
I mean, it does make sense in a way if you want to point out an artifact and then you show this along, you know, maybe one column or cross column or whatsoever, and then you just show it and you present it while what the artifact is. So in the setting, so there are some few exceptions which would allow it, but usually, you know, if it's to underlie something that you're saying, then, you know, just put it on? What exactly is it? And then that's the point, that's the sentence, that's the word that comes on the slide and not the whole thing.
Yeah. And one of my recommendation is, unfortunately, the default in PowerPoint is that bullet points come up. And I think that is one of the problems, that we see lots of bullet point slides. The interesting thing is you can very easily get around bullet points by breaking these into different slides. Yeah. So if you have three bullet points on your slide, or five bullet points on your slide, make three or five slides out of it. Yeah. And then have for each of these bullet points, just the bullet point in the title. Yeah. What you want to say. And then a supporting figure or picture on the screen. And that way you will have a much more kind of engaging presentation, because you have another slide, you have another visual emotional cue, because pictures are really there to speak to the emotional part that we touched on earlier. So that is really, really nice. And it also helps you to structure your presentation more easily. So I can highly recommend that, to get rid of some of the bullet points. Sometimes it's good, sometimes, you know, just to have a little bit of variation. Mm-hmm. And if you want to have kind of your three conclusions all together on a slide, that's really good. But use them more sparingly, and not just use them as default and all the time.
Yeah, I think in general we can say that less is more in many ways and for slides. So I don't think that it does give you confidence if you put in all the points that you would like to say and all the details, so that you don't forget and people have this, remember it maybe. But actually for an attractive presentation, less is more. Yeah. And so really focus on what you would like to say. Prepare. Don't put this all on the slide.
Yeah, it's really think like a designer. And it's a perfect design when you can't take away anything anymore. It's not like when you can't add anything anymore. Okay, and now we are getting to the last point, point number 14.
To the end.
Yeah. And that is?
Have a powerful ending. So, because it's, you know, the same way when you start, that's how you present and how you draw the attention to the people. But what they remember is how you step out of the whole situation. So have a very powerful end, something that is exciting, like a story, a conclusion, anything to take away, like a call to action, really something. At, you know, where it doesn't so, oh, and here we end. Oh, okay, that's the end. I didn't know. So really put this, bring it to an end, to a conclusion, and make a powerful end at the end.
Yeah. And to be honest, I hate these thank you slides at the end. It's kind of, I think it's a wasted opportunity, because when you have the last slide and that's kind of then stays on the screen, you want to have your call to action on that. You want to have your main conclusions on it. You want to have the take home message for the audience, and not thank you. That's boring, really. Make sure that your last slide is a conclusion. Actually, when I'm doing presentations in a session, it's really nice to have the last presentations there, because then your last slide stays on the screen for the whole Q&A.
Yeah.
So you can really drive home your message.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't say thank you, because then it don't even know who said thank you. No, it's a very good point.
Yeah. Okay, with that, we went through all kind of different presentation tips. There's, of course, many, many more things you can have think about. But I think if you follow these 14 tips and go through them, be clear on your goals, have a strong start, you know, have a powerful presentation that speaks to the emotional and to the logical part, that you really make a connection with your audience by making eye contact, by smiling, by, you know, being present there in all the different parts, with your face, with your body, with your voice, all these different things, and you really make an effort to connect with the audience, then you have a much better chance of achieving the goals that you have with your presentation. And you have a much bigger chance of being remembered as a good presenter, as someone that brought forward the scientific community, that brought forward the study teams, that brought forward the business case, these kind of things. And good presenters really stand out from the crowd. So I think that is a, can be a really career booster if you're a good presenter. So have an effort, practice it, invest into your presentation skills.
Excellent. So looking forward to see you presenting next time.
Yep. And if you found that useful, then please share this with your colleagues and tell others about the podcast.
Excellent. So have a nice day.
Up to next week. Bye.
Bye.
This show was created in association with PSI. Thanks to Rain, who helps with the show in the background. And thank you for listening. I hope you can improve your leadership skills, your presentation skills with this episode, and you will apply these techniques for your next presentation. Head over to theeffectivestatistician.com to find the show notes with all these different tips and learn more about our podcast, Boost Your Career as a Statistician in the Health Sector. Also, please tell your colleagues about this podcast so that more people can benefit from this free content. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.